You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, y'all.
So how many of y'all are still recovering from yesterday? You know, when everybody, or at least this weekend, was Irish. Joey, I know you were Italian, but you were Irish. Everybody had a good time. Hopefully everybody had a safe and fun time as well. So much news actually took place over the weekend to catch up on here as well. It's Gus Kattengill. Welcome to the show. It's the Sports Hangover. You got us to 3 o'clock. A fun list of guests to kind of chat about some of the topics of the day. We got some surprises from over the weekend. The tournament bracket is out. It is time to start looking at your bracket. We'll do that bracket challenge and all that tomorrow. The first four starts tomorrow and Wednesday. So you got a pair of games tomorrow, pair of games on Wednesday. It's called the first four, 68 teams, and then the rest of the field of 64 get underway Thursday, Friday, and then, of course, Saturday. So just the next 4 days, obviously, no work gets done. I mean, right? That's how it works, especially towards the end of the week. LSU, number three seed, they will play in Jacksonville against Yale on Thursday. We'll talk with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, about that as well, as what the Tigers did over the weekend. Coach Mark Schlesinger, UNO head basketball coach, going to join us at 12:30. Came so close to getting into the dance as well, getting back into that first four games, coming up close, shy, in the conference tournament over the weekend, losing in the title game after making a bit of a run. But they'll be in the CIT. They're hosting a game on Wednesday. So we'll just kind of chat with him briefly at 12:30 to see how his team's doing and what kind of year he's had here as well. And we'll have a little fun with that. Coming up at 1:50, as we say, with Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers. Also, later on in the 2 o'clock hour, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. You know he covers college basketball and football. We'd love to have him on. We'll get his takes. The number one seeds, three, coming from the ACC. I got some questions already. If you have any questions you want to ask him, shoot them at us, so you can call during the segment. I'll put you on if you have a quick question. Because I think one of the things for me when I look at this bracket to see if I can make it work and then last a little longer than my previous ones are probably going to go around the lines of, we've seen a lot of teams be number one this year. How good are they? Can they make a run or not? Tennessee going down in the SEC championship game to Auburn, you know, they were the number one team in there as well. I heard Jay Williams on ESPN this morning on Golic and Wingo, and he's been making the rounds this morning. Get up, First Take, the works. He has Duke and Kentucky in the national title game, and he has Kentucky beating Duke. I don't know. I saw LSU take on Kentucky this year, and I've seen some of the Kentucky games, and they beat Tennessee. Do you think that they're the best? Duke winning the ACC tournament over the weekend, over Florida State on Saturday. That game on Friday was nuts. Did you watch North Carolina Duke? I did. I was tweeting. I was like giving public service announcement tweets during that game. Please do it. Turn it on. Go check it out. That was incredible. I'd love to see those two teams in a national title game. So we'll go over the bracket. We'll do all of that. It is possible they're on opposite sides of the bracket, right? Virginia, North Carolina, Duke out of the ACC are one seeds. Gonzaga, the other number one seed. We'll take a look at LSU's bracket as well, see where they can go, and all of that and more. Marlon Favorite's going to jump in at 2:15 as he does on Monday and Fridays to talk a little Tigers spring practice and also some of the Saints moves. That's the other big news of the day. That kind of took a lot of people by surprise and shock on Saturday, right? And that was the departure of Max Unger via retirement. Not a lot of people were expecting that or saw that coming. I was at the Pels game on Saturday night with the wife, and we were talking to some folks that, you know, that was where we were kind of with the teams, You know, and I say teams because they work for both the Pels and the Saints, and surprise was the word that I was being told. Just, I mean, no one saw that coming. If anything, we were talking about, hey, look, you're going to have to re-sign him and repay him and things of that nature. You thought you were going there. Now, since then, late last night, Ian Rappaport reporting last night, and then it came out this morning, the Saints did not hesitate at all to find the replacement, right? Saints making the move last night, agreeing to terms with Nick Easton, one of the top interior offensive linemen available. He will replace Max Unger. This was Ian Rappaport this morning on the NFL Network.
His replacement, Nick Easton, who played guard last year and has played guard recently, is expected to play center now for the New Orleans Saints. This happened overnight, late last night. Nick Easton agrees to terms on a four-year, $24 million deal. The Saints are strapped right up against the salary cap. They do have some room now that Max Unger retired. Basically, took Easton, put him right in Unger's spot, and are moving on from there. You know, the Unger retirement caught a lot of people by surprise. My understanding is the Saints had at least some idea it was coming because they were already talking to Nick Easton about possibly taking over for Unger, the All-Pro.
So there you go. Because that was my first initial question, right? Remember last week, I want to say it was Thursday morning, Drew Brees, the news comes out, he restructures his contract. Boom. Then you saw a flurry of signings, and we heard from them. And I'll do a recap segment, a rewind segment, if, and understandably on Friday, you missed part of the show, which, again, we played a lot of sound from new Saints, right, that had just re-signed, that just signed, from Mario Edwards to Malcolm Brown, Teddy Bridgewater. I'll play some of the highlights throughout the show here as well, in case you missed some of their thoughts and feelings. Latavius Murray as well. All from conference calls from Thursday night and Friday morning throughout the day. Max Unger is scheduled to have a conference call at 1 p.m. today. So Jordan the intern will have that for you. He'll cut it up, so we'll have it sometime in that 1 o'clock hour, probably after Chris Blair when we speak with him at 1:15. So I'm going to put you under the gun here, Jordan. 1:30-ish, we'll hear what Max Unger had to say. You should be able to hear as to why he decided to make that decision at this point. But to Ian's, you know, statement there, because that's the first thing that popped in my head. Oh, bleep, right? I mean, did they know this? Because that is an absolute key element to your football team. I mean, the center position, you need stability. You need leadership. You need toughness. Max Unger brought all of that, right? Drew Brees absolutely speaks so highly of Max Unger. And more so, the reason I was wondering is, did they know this or not? Because if you're not planning for it and you're making these signings, adding to the defensive line, maybe possibly adding Jared Cook, still no word on the tight end, right? Are you still really considering Ziggy Ansah? That shoulder, that's the issue, looks like, from a lot of people, right? Could it just be a one-year deal? I know Brian Noel East and I were talking this morning, and he's like, hey, never know. Could be like something that they've done in the past with that one-year deal. So we'll keep an eye out on that, but you haven't heard anything from Cook. My point that I'm bringing up is this. You were wondering if most of that restructured money that they were using, you know, did you see this coming? Did you have this ready to go? As you heard Ian Rappaport say, they had already been talking decent, so they had at least their eye on that. Because if it would have been the complete shock and surprise of you're doing what, boy, would that put you into a different mode, because you have got to. And look, I know Cameron Tom, Will Clapp, possible replacements. I hear you. But if you're a team that's making a Super Bowl run, you probably want somebody with the experience of playing center in games that's good, that would command $6 million. That's Easton, right? Not saying that you can't groom Tom, or you can't, but you want that depth. Remember, if you start using the depth as starters, that hurts you. You saw last year when the starters got injured, this offense Joey, cue the Wile E. Coyote soundbite. I mean, it did. I mean, you saw the numbers. I mean, to the point where everyone was talking, they figured out the Saints offense. Drew Brees is hurt. You got nothing from the second receiver. You need to draft a receiver. I mean, there it is. There it is. Here it comes. Yeah, no, thank you, Joey. I mean, that happens when your offensive line gets injured, right? When you're seeing Ryan Ramczyk leaving the Cowboys game arm in the sling. When Teron Armstead's missing games. All of that, man, matters. So it's something to keep an eye on. Got to have that depth on that line. But, yeah, that was a shocker, I guess, for a lot of people because you didn't see that coming. Now, again, I have a hard time believing with how Max Unger has spoken about the respect that he has and how he probably goes about his business that he doesn't tell the Saints. So I do think they had some inkling or at least some understanding it was going to happen so they could plan for it. Again, have somebody on the get-go, get them on the phone ready to go, somebody targeted, more importantly, have the money earmarked for that, right? And again, you heard Ian Rappaport say the Saints are up against the cap now with all these different signings. As you know, in the past, the Saints have always found a way to squeeze whatever cents out of a dollar, much less the dollar out of a bigger dollar. So if there's still some people out there that maybe have been reported, have not, I mean, obviously everyone's keeping an eye on guys like Cook and Ansah and others, but I'm sure they have other players that they can go after, look at, maybe still trying to get. And again, that money. But yeah, it was a surprise, right? I mean, come on, seriously. To the other point of this as well, not only are you losing your starting center, that's been a stable. I mean, look, he played so well since that trade with the Jimmy Graham move that the team made that when he had a bad game, it was news. Does that make sense? Obviously, on the ends, you give up a sack and people will see it. But you could count on a hand, probably. The amount of times Max Unger had a bad game. You could count on one hand the times where we would come here on a Monday morning and go, Max Unger had it handed to him. One hand, I would say. I would argue that. Feel free, chime in. 800-998-1003. But for the most part, that was as steady and set position since he's been here. So let's see what Nick Easton can do here. 4 years, $24 million. But yeah, Max Unger going to speak here in about 45 minutes or so. We'll have that for you at the bottom of next hour after we visit with Chris Blair to talk a little Tigers as well. Coming up bottom of the hour, as you said, Mark Schlesinger, head coach of the UNO Privateer. So we'll touch on that about Ingram, about Max Unger. But what I want to get into here, and it's kind of an overall question of the day here for you Saints fans, because Mike Triplett wrote about it. The headline, Saints locker room takes big hit losing Ingram, Unger, and Watson all in the same offseason. So here's my question of the day for you. Are you concerned that that is a big leadership hit, leadership void of the locker room? We've referenced it a million times. Right? When Roman Harper, Malcolm Jenkins left, the leadership void. Look, and I hear you, as Mike Triplett says, look, you add all of them together, it's a lot of proven experience in leadership leaving the building all at once. The first thing that pops in my head is I think it's kind of two sort of different situations. It's similar in a lot of different cases, but it's a little different, I think, as well. It's sort of like the Anthony Davis, Chris Paul thing. It's similar, but I think it's different as well. With Chris Paul, there was instability. Ownership was, you know, I mean, there's trading of players without coaches knowing. It was just, there was a lot of reasons that you were like, this organization, you don't know what's going to, the NBA had to buy them for crying out loud. It's not the case with AD. Some of the moves worked. Some of the moves didn't. Was the team run as best as it could? Of course not. Couldn't say they weren't trying to get the most of it. And it's two completely different things. I think with AD, you can sort of see. I think it, the ear has been listening to the wrong side of things. But look, if that's who he wants to be and that's what he is, so be it. But did you see the video this weekend of the game on Saturday when the Pels were battling into overtime? And, yeah, the entire team walked off the floor and he was trying to get high fives and everyone walked past him. I mean, again, now look, earlier in the game when he played on Saturday, they gave him that. There were, you know, fans for the most part cheered on the alley-oops and stuff. And when he played, I was there. I was shocked, actually, at the amount of people that were there in that game. I mean, these are the two bottom-dwelling teams in the Western Conference, and Suns and Pels, and the 300 level is what I keep an eye on, right? The bottom level, lots of businesses, season tickets sold and bought there. I hear you. But when you see a lot of scattering and a lot of people in the 300 levels, I look at it like that's a real telling of how many people are there. And it was a lot more than I thought for. I mean, I was like 3,000-4,000, right? That's what I expected. Not at all. I'd say 10 more, 10 plus, easy. And they were loud. They were into the game. And, you know, then the Pels went Pels and lost the game because of a technical foul by calling a timeout. They didn't have it in overtime, and that's how they lost. Yes, that's your Pels. Anyway, my point being that I think they're similar in different situations. And after the break, I'll come back and I'll give you reasons why I think it's not going to be as bad as when Jenkins and Harper left. And I'll give my reasons why. Do you lose leadership? Absolutely. Do you lose quality? Absolutely. Of course you do. Those guys were leaders on the team. Those guys were steady. You knew what you got each and every day. On the field, off the field, relationships with players. Absolutely. That needs to be replaced. But I think the team's in different situations and spots. But we'll throw that out there as a question of the day. Are you concerned in the leadership void? I mean, those are some big names with a lot of seasons under their belt. More importantly, a lot of locker room time that has walked out of the building on Airline Drive. Hour one of the Sports Hangover is always brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING is the number to give them a buzz. Then, of course, kinginjuryfirm.com is the website. Go check them out. You can get all the latest info and, more importantly, meet and greet them. You can see it all online, blogs, videos, everything, instances that you think maybe kind of are similar to yours and how they can help you. It's a free consultation call. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Coming up, my reasons why I think it's a little different. It can handle it. It's still leadership void, but we'll talk about it. Feel free to call in as well. Sports Hangover continues on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Have you been suffering with neck or low back pain? Disc of Louisiana offers the most precise techniques and least invasive surgical procedures to give you your life back. Wake up with only a Band-Aid after surgery. Disc of Louisiana, now accepting appointments in Houma, Metairie, and around the North Shore. Visit GoSpine.com. That's GEAUXspine.com to make an appointment today.
Golftech's March Major Sale is now in full swing. If you're a golfer looking for major improvements with your swing or clubs, get to Golftech and save up to 20% in March. Get started with a swing evaluation or tech fit club fitting for only $100. Your local Golf Tech is in Metairie on 17th Street behind Lakeside Mall. Visit golftec.com.
Swing better. Play better. Golf Tech.
What if you could change your future for the positive with one phone call? Would you do it? What if I told you that this is a huge opportunity to own a franchise here in Houma that's affordable and it's with a company that will show you how to succeed? I'm talking about Jana King, the king of clean. Call Jana King today at 985-360-0099 and take control of your future. That's 360-0099. Don't let this formula for success pass you by.
Jenny King, the king of clean.
Houma Credit can help with those unexpected needs for cash when you least expect it, or for home improvements or anything else you need. They have loans $300 and up. They offer fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Plus, they even accept phone applications. The folks at Home of Credit have up to 30 years' experience, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 223-1085 or look them up on Facebook.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Sean Fazan, Fox 8, is going to chime in at 2:45, just getting back to me here. Is trying to get a couple of updates on what folks feel about, obviously, Max Unger, the importance that he's had on this team here as well from people that not only covered him, but also what are the Saints getting in Nick Easton? Again, Max Unger is going to speak at the top of the hour in a conference call. Joining the answer, we'll have that for you. We'll play it bottom of next hour right after Chris Blair speaks at 1:15 with us. Talk about the Tigers, national number 3 seed. We're taking on Yale and Jacksonville. Last time, Joey, I don't know if you know this, last time they were in Jacksonville for the tournament, they made the Final Four. 2015, that was the last time these Tigers, or not these Tigers, the Tigers, went into the tournament. So, what a wacky last week, right, when it comes to LSU. All the Wade statements, LSU statements, all this, and basketball we played, they lose to Florida on Friday. Now let's see how far they can go in their run. We'll take a look at the bracket with Chris and, you know, see where the games can sort of go there as well. But, again, it'll be Thursday, in which the Tigers take on Yale. So we will see what takes place with all of this. Now, one of the things that we can also take a look at, again, that I was talking about here with the Saints and losing some of their players. And again, at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to chime in via Twitter, 800-998-1003. Do you think it's the same or different when the team lost Roman Harper, Malcolm Jenkins, and such in that short amount of time and span? I guess you can throw Sproles in there as well in that short amount of time where you just lost a lot of leadership. Here's what I look at. During that time, you lost players that were here when the method was established for the Saints. You lost players, and it wasn't just those two, but some other players, but those two in particular, that were here when Sean Payton established the Saints way. We always hear about the Patriot way, right? The Saints had a way too. But you started losing players, whether it's Jabari Greer, whether it's, I mean, again, a handful of players we can go into. But you lost players that had, were taught, shown the Saints way. Next man up mentality. I know everybody talks about it, but for the Saints, it was really a thing. Right? Guys that were here, finished strong. Guys that were here that came up short. The Saints way in establishing that. Drew Brees even said it a couple years after their departure. Zach Strief, remember saying it up in West Virginia when the training camps first started there, that they had to kind of take a look in the mirror and remember, oh yeah, most of the players that were part of the Super Bowl winning team were gone. Like it was less than a handful. When you start getting into the half dozen, and then it kept trickling, and then this one's gone, and then that one's gone, and then it was like two left, now just one left. Yeah. The Sean Payton Saints way had to get reestablished, had to get retaught. It was a very real thing that this team did. They told us about it. They said they were going to do it. Sean Payton, flat out. He carbon copied two seasons ago, basically how he built the 06 team. Brian O'Leese is one of the first ones to be like, they're doing exactly, they just went in the drawer, they opened the drawer, they grabbed the sheet of paper, and Here it is. Let's see. Let's go back to 2006. Oh, yep. Let's see. We need receivers like them. We need an O-line like that. We need. Yeah. I mean, they basically copied and pasted it. You saw in their draft picks. You saw in their free agency acquisitions. You heard Sean Payton and the rest of the staff, quarterback Drew Brees, all say they wanted to get certain kind of players. Talent, yes, but they needed. So they cleansed the locker room, and then they started the process of finding the kind of guys and players that worked for them in the past. And there was where I think the difference lies. When Jenkins and Harper left and went bye-bye and the team moved on, you did have a lot of young players that hadn't gone to the postseason. You had a lot of young players that hadn't won. You had a lot of young players that they didn't know what it took to get there because they hadn't gotten there. Hadn't been in the playoffs. You had a lot of young players that, you know, fell short on games. And in today's, I'd say youth, but I mean, look, I can tell you all I want. Hey, this is how they've done it. This is how you do it. That's great. And at some point, some of those young players probably go, enough already. That's not us. That's a team of 5-6 seasons ago. I don't know why you keep bringing that up. That's not us. It's not who we are. We don't know what you're talking about. Sean Payton said that at one of the training camp practices, that he was mentioning stuff and he looked at the blank faces that they didn't know what he was talking about. So he had to redo it all over again. From the type of practices they had to the type of players they had. And that's why I think it's a little bit different. Yes, Mike Triplett's on point on this, that on the surface, you absolutely look at it. And yes, not just on the surface, but yeah, Mark Ingram was a leader. Alvin Kamara's big brother. Absolutely. Most, if not everyone on that team, when he came back from suspension land, was like, dude, the locker room just completely got better. Energy. Everything. You name it. Right? That's going to be missed. Somebody's got to step up into that role. I will never forget Kenny Vaccaro saying, when I asked him about, hey, who becomes the vocal leader on this team? Who becomes Malcolm Jenkins, Roman Harper? Who does that? And he goes, look, that's not me. It's not who I do. I mean, I do by my actions. I lead that way. And I remember leaving the locker room that day going, they are in deep doo-doo. And then his string of 7-9 seasons started. I'm not saying you got to be the rah-rah guy that walks in, kicks the door and goes, you know, whatever. But you got to have people that are vocal to an extent. Being vocal to be vocal is different than being a vocal leader, if that makes any sense to you, right? And what did we see from Kenny Vaccaro towards his last two seasons here? He became that guy. He became that guy, for better or worse, in the locker room after game, saying, we have guys that are loafing. We have guys that aren't playing well. We have guys that are lost. Like, he became that vocal guy, though. But the season Harper and Jenkins left, I'll never forget that 0-4 start. He was like, look, that's just not who I am. And then he went and lost to the Browns. That's not who I am. You missed that. Where I think it's different then to now is you do have a very large nucleus of young players. You absolutely do. They're experienced, though. That's the big difference. The youth on those Saints teams, A, weren't very good. But more importantly, B, hadn't won. They hadn't been re-indoctrinated into the Saints' Sean Payton way. Just last week, just a couple days ago, we're all talking about and tweeting, look at the young list of players. That's why Teddy Bridgewater said, hey, I'm staying here. Look at the young players you got. We're talking about the young, youthful players that you're going to have to pay here real soon in the next 2 to 3 years. That's a lot of youth. That's a lot of talent. That's a lot of it. It's all there. They've all won. They've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. They went to the NFC Championship game last year, starting the season with Super Bowl expectations. After Harper and Jenkins left, none of those Saints teams, we might have thought that, we might have liked to say that, that first year at the Greenbrier, before, of course, the curse, as you Saints fans like to bring up. But that team wasn't going to the Super Bowl. They started last offseason by putting a sign on their building for all to see. Not a little street sign you gotta go check out, right? Winning Way or whatever they have right there, right by the entrance. No. Big old sign. Prove them right. They didn't even hide or attempt to hide from the expectations or the talk, or as Sean Payton likes to say, the cheese. They threw a banner on the side of the building for all to see at every practice that was available for the public to see, cameras to shoot. They didn't put it inside the building. They put it on the outside of the building and said, prove them right. That's completely different than when Jenkins and Harper left. This is a young, brash, confident, talented, experienced team. Are you going to miss those players? Of course you are. I'm not saying you're not, but I don't think it's going to be to the detriment of where all of a sudden you lose the locker room. Some of these young guys already at some of the position groups have had to be leader. You've been counting on the last two seasons on Marcus Williams leading your secondary. He's entering his third season. Started as a rookie. Bell going into his fourth season. You have been counting on the young players already. And most, if not all, since you're returning a playoff caliber team, have played in one, if not two, if not three, if not four playoff games. So that's where I think it's a little bit different. I think they got leaders there now. I think they got leadership qualities there. And when you see some of the guys that you brought in, I don't think it's by chance. You bring in a Patriot who just won the Super Bowl to your D-line. You bring in a Latavius Murray, or Teddy Bridgewater says this guy works hard all the time. Murray then calls him to make sure because he sees Teddy Bridgewater as a leader. All of the players the Saints are bringing in have leadership qualities already, are veterans, and also come from winning programs. Mario Edwards, that dude's hungry. He wants to win. He's been with the Giants, right? So I like it. I think it's a little different. We'll talk a bit more about that coming up on the show. Up next, though, Coach Mark Schlesinger. The UNO Privateers, his team's hosting a CIT tournament game on Wednesday, coming up just a little shy of getting in the big dance. He knows what it's all about to get into the first four, which starts tomorrow. We'll talk about that in the season that this privateer basketball team had next on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
We're back. The Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic is returning to the Bayou region April 8th through the 13th at Ellendale Country Club in Houma. This signature event features the area's only professional golf tournament and much-anticipated Pro-Am Day. Come enjoy good sportsmanship, good food, and fun, all for a great cause. For more information, go to marybird.org/TGMC/golf.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
When weather hits, the right wiper blades make all the difference. That's when the Michelin Man is on your side, helping you see better and drive safer with new Michelin Premium Wiper Blades. Designed with exclusive Smart Flex technology, our frameless beam-designed Michelin blades flex to the curve of your windshield, giving you unparalleled, streak-free, long-lasting, all-season performance. So when the going gets tough, be ready with Michelin Premium Wiper Blades. It's a difference you can see. Available at Walmart and other fine retailers.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on, I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, there's my answer.
Credit Karma. Here's the progress.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
At Privateers MBB, it's the way to follow the UNO Privateer basketball team on Twitter. If you want to follow Coach Schlesinger, it's at Coach Sless. Easy enough. Coach joins us this afternoon on the Sports Hangover. How are you, Mark?
G-Cat, living the dream, man, living the dream.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Look, I don't know, it's just kind of becoming your thing over there, you know, making a late run to try to get into the dance, coming up a little bit short, but once again, providing a lot of excitement. All of a sudden, I started seeing, again, look, it was a busy week last week with so many storylines around, but sure enough, I know a lot of people were keeping an eye on what was going on over there in the Southland Conference Tournament. You get the win against Lamar, 76-72. A three-point win against the top seed, Sam Houston State, 79-76. Puts you in the title game over there in Katy, Texas against Abilene Christian before you fall a little bit short, but heck of a run.
It was amazing. And you know, our team has been coming all year long, and we made a very conscious decision early that we weren't going to talk about our youth. I didn't want it to be the narrative. I thought our team was strong enough to write its own narrative. But to think about that, you know, really we were playing two seniors all year long in place knots, so we lost, you know, with a broke rib right in the heart of conference play before he was able to come back. And then we lose Ezekiel Charles, who was our leading scorer, rebounder, minute guy with 8 games to play. And so Rosa, our third senior, stepped up admirably for him, but really only playing two seniors and one junior all year long, the rest being freshmen, sophomores. It's going to be a bright future for us, but to see these guys develop and make a run like this was awesome. And then just the swell of support coming from New Orleans and from our faculty, our student, staff, alumni, man, you talk about amazing. And just everybody here in the city, I'm forever grateful for how people have treated us and treated our student athletes and myself. And March Madness is special, and I think that's why this thing remains undefeated every year.
You know, one thing, Coach, speaking with Mark Schlesinger, head coach of the UNO Privateers, they'll play Wednesday against Texas Southern up on the lakefront. One of the things I did follow throughout the season, and look, hashtags become so popular, obviously, with social media, but the premise of hashtag 504 our city. I mean, you made a run, got the tournament, and then you have to retool and kind of, you know, get players in that can make another run here as well. As you were talking about playing with a lot of youth here, but what's that? How important is it to kind of remind with the hashtag like that of, hey, there's a team here in the city that could also use that support, but also to kind of almost lay claim out there, right? I mean, I see the baseball team kind of using similar situations as well and saying, hey, look, this is who we are and trying to take ownership.
We take a tremendous amount of pride in being, you know, the public school of this great city, and a school that's available for everybody, a school that has, you know, been documented to be the builder of the middle class, and a lot of the intellectual power that's in our city has come from our higher education institution on the lakefront. And we take that with great pride. But also for a guy who's not originally from here, but I've been in the state, you know, nearly 20 years now, I take an enormous amount of pride about being a resident of Pontchartrain Park, about being engaged in the city, to live in all the cultural and life aspects that myself and my wife and our 3 kids that we can do and be a part of. It is the world's greatest city, and I think people that don't appreciate it, embrace it, they miss out on a lot of joy. And I think when we talked about that, of what was important to us and what is our brand and what's our message, that was the thing that I kept coming back to that we started a couple years ago of talking about 504 City, because I just think it means so much to us to be one small part in such a dynamic, rich city and cultural experience on a daily basis.
At Privateers MBB, the way to follow over on Twitter. You know, Coach, one of the other things, too, obviously being the home of the Nickel State Colonels here and seeing their run last year after what you guys did just a couple seasons ago, I don't have to tell you, and I know you'll be more than happy to let people know just how tough that basketball conference really is, especially come tournament time. You almost don't look at the records. Clearly, you guys beat the number one team in Sam Houston State, but just how much competition and how good has that conference gotten just in the last couple of years, Coach?
You know, it continues to get better and better each year. So this is my first year in this league was in 2000, 2001, and just to see the depth of it, to see the talent that the players have, and the different varied styles of coaching is incredible. Nichols had a great year a year ago with Coach Riley, and Coach Conch is doing a phenomenal job there too. But you know, they didn't make the tournament. But as a comparison, they beat Southeastern, who was tied with us for third, and made the tournament. They beat them in the last regular season game, and so there wasn't a whole lot of separation in the end from the top teams. We had an incredibly tough draw in that we had to beat the hottest team in the league in Lamar, who had won nine in a row, coached by former UNL coach Dick Price. And then we get Sam Houston, who was the league champion. And then we got Abilene Christian, who was the second-place team and was playing their best basketball at the end of the year, too. So I couldn't be more proud of our team and their effort they had. And really, sometimes you got to be special on those nights. And we were just a little tired and a little short. And we're going to take it. We'll regroup and excited for to represent our league in this tournament on Wednesday night against Texas Southern, who's as talented a team as anybody in the country. If you go through that roster, holy smokes! I mean, it's high major transfer.
That's what I was going to get into, Coach, because I think one of the things that you've kind of expressed here while we've been chatting here is that the future is bright. You got a lot of youth and young players to kind of get that experience, and getting that experience, if you want to make the run to the other dance tournament, something like this can help, right? A situation where it is a tournament, it is that postseason experience, the one and done situation where you lose your season's over. How can that really help for next year with a lot of those young players you were talking about earlier?
That's a great point by you to make. A year ago, we played, two rounds of the Southland Conference tournament, and then we were lucky enough to get in the CIT, and we played Texas Rio Grande Valley, which used to be Texas Pan American, at home, who had a really good year this year, finished second in the WAC, won that, and then we traveled to Campbell. And most people are like, Campbell, well, what, who are they? Well, they have, this year they have a senior named Chris Clemens who I think is going to finish maybe fourth in NCAA history in scoring. So he's a pretty phenomenal player. And, we lose on a buzzer beater there. But the experience that our young kids like Troy Green, who prepped at East St. John, Lamont Burzett, who prepped at Landry Walker, Scott, who prepped at Country Day, Damian Ross, another one of our freshmen, those experiences those guys got playing in four elimination games in reality last season was a big piece in us being able to make it to the championship game this year. Mm-hmm. So this experience, again, for us to play in the CBI tournament against a really, really strong Texas Southern team coached by Johnny Jones, you can't replicate these experiences in practice or a scrimmage or anything else. Those feelings and emotions of, this is an elimination game only come from being in that exact situation.
All right, so Coach, to lead us into that game on Wednesday, coming up here 7 p.m. in the CIT tournament here. What you mentioned already, Texas Southern, their talents. What's the key for you guys to move on to the next round?
We've got to really defend their inside game. I think when you go through the roster and you look at 7-2 transfer from Auburn, 6-8 wow. transfer from LSU, 6-6 transfer from Nevada. You just keep going down, 6-5 transfer from Colorado State. You just keep going down the line. They are talent on talent. Jeremy Combs is one of the best players who played at LSU for 2 years, and is a really, really good player. But we've got to dominate the class. We've got to contain their inside game, and then we're going to have to do a really, really good job of containing the ball. But I think we got some distinct advantages in our guard play. I think we got some great advantages in being able to get out in transition and really push the ball and break and get some transition baskets. It'll be a wildly entertaining game. It'll be one that people will really enjoy getting out and seeing. And they can get tickets there at the box office or online at UNOprivateers.com.
At Coach Celeste, the way to follow you over on Twitter. You left a nice little message for the supporters, of course, on there as well. So go check that out. And, of course, follow UNO on Twitter themselves, at PrivateersMBB. Thanks for a little bit of your time this afternoon. I know you got to get ready for a game on Wednesday. Good luck. We'll touch base again.
I appreciate you so much.
Yep, for sure. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. We'll continue our discussion of the New Orleans Saints. Losing three key players, Max Unger, Ben Watson, Mark Ingram, out of the locker room, that is. I made my case, though, going into the bottom of the hour. I think it's different than when this team lost a little from the leadership standpoint from Harper and Jenkins. I think they're better situated in a better place, and more importantly, I think more experienced with those young players. What you think? Love to hear from you, Saints fans, at 800-998-1003, at ESPN Radio NOLA as well on Twitter. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Show on ESPN Radio.
Celebrity infidelity is weird because it seems like it's okay if you like the people involved. Don't get me started on The Office because I've done this about The Office before. This Jim and Pam business that everybody thought they were a great love story, Pam was with Roy the whole time. And then she's kissing Jim and Jim's kissing her and it's like, listen, what they're doing is wrong morally. Like, just because you like the people involved doesn't mean that infidelity is okay, people.
They had to correct it. They went over the top in trying to make you dislike Roy. Roy was even acting outside of normal Roy behavior to make it work, and I still felt bad for Roy.
They were making Roy out to be too much of a bad guy. Destroying bars, crashing jet skis, it's too much.
I mean, his life was tearing apart at the seams because of Pam's actions.
Still a good show, one of my favorite shows, but listen, I feel like we were sending the wrong message with that one. And we're kind of doing the same thing here with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
The Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Fitzmagic over on South Beach. That's right. Dolphins couldn't get Teddy Bridgewater, so Fitzmagic, 2 years, $11 million. Hit or miss with the Buccaneers when he played last year. We all know when he hit. We also did see at times when he missed. But, yeah, it's 2 years, 11 mil, so he will be the quarterback over there. Again, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network announcing earlier this morning that the Saints signing Nick Easton, his words, one of the top interior offensive linemen available, is what he had to say on the NFL Network this morning.
It's been Nick Easton, who played guard last year and has played guard recently, is expected to play center now for the New Orleans Saints. This happened overnight, late last night. Nick terms on a 4-year, $24 million deal. The Saints are strapped right up against the salary cap. They do have some room now that Max Unger retired. Basically, took Easton, put him right in Unger's spot, and are moving on from there. You know, the Unger retirement caught a lot of people by surprise. My understanding is the Saints had at least some idea it was coming because they were already talking to Nick Easton about possibly taking over for Unger, the All-Pro.
By the way, you heard him say that it just kind of replaced him in that situation. I mean, he's also referring to it money-wise, too. I want to say it was like 6.8, 6.9 with Max Unger, so it's essentially what you were going to pay him this year that you're giving to Nick Easton, and probably a little bit less than that. So, again, because it's one of those things. The first, well, it's two questions that popped in my head. The second, this news came out on Saturday by Max Unger retiring. Wow, did it surprise the Saints? Were they ready for this? Because clearly free agency going on here, and you're, whoa, I need my starting center. This isn't a backup lineman. This isn't somebody that, you know, was reporting eligible for the play. This is your starting center who's been absolutely fantastic since you got him from Seattle. So were you ready for this? How do the monies kind of transfer here? Because, you know, you're still trying to maybe sign possibly some other players, which I don't have a doubt that they're still trying to do. And so the fact that it's pretty much similar money, if not darn near the same, you're already budgeting that anyway. Does that make sense? Because at first you go, oh, wow, where's this other money going to come to try to go get it? Well, again, it's the money you would pay him, Max Unger, you're essentially paying Nick Easton with. Sound good? But again, as Mike Triplett from ESPN.com was pointing out in his column that he put up there today about the leadership void, perhaps, is going to walk out the building here now. Mark Ingram going to Baltimore, Max Unger, Ben Watson retiring. Do you think it's going to be sort of reminiscent of what happened a couple of years ago with the Saints? And I made the case right before we spoke with Coach Mark Schlesinger that I think it's a little different situation. I think the young players now at the Saints have experience. They've played in the postseason the last 2 years. You see them not only play in the postseason, get that experience, they're key guys. So they've been playing with pressure. They've been playing with, look, the team depends on Michael Thomas, depends on Alvin Kamara, depends on Ryan Ramczyk, Armstead, you know, some of the younger players there as well. They depend on the young guys on the defensive side, Lattimore, Bell, Marcus Williams has been your quarterback, the safety position back there. I mean, it's just a different makeup of those players and a different makeup of the team. And as I said, they've been indoctrinated since day one of arriving in New Orleans on the Saints way, how Sean Payton likes to do things, which I think was completely different in the biggest aspect of it, right, than the last time heading into those 7-9 seasons. Because they were just constantly being told, well, this is how we've done it. This is how we did it in 08. This is how we did it in 09. This is how we did it in 010. And those players are going, great, we weren't here. I was in high school. I might have been a freshman in college. I wasn't here. So that was the difference, I think, to me. That Sean Payton, when Thomas got here, before Kamara got here, before really Williams got here, realized we have to start over in teaching, indoctrinating the Saints way. Triplett puts this as well in the column. The positive spin, because initially, of course, and again, it's not just on paper. You're going to lose something by not having Mark Ingram. You're going to lose something by having Ben Watson. I mean, again, we all agree, if he would have played in that Rams game, could have helped. And you're absolutely going to lose something in Max Unger. He also says, though, the Saints could potentially upgrade their tight end spot if they can sign free agent Jared Cook. Visited the team last week. Again, I don't know about you. I try, probably to the detriment of my marriage a lot of times, to keep up on Twitter with reports on where I haven't seen anywhere that Jared Cook is visiting another team. If y'all have, tweet at me, call me and tell me. I haven't seen it, but I'm also not going to lie to you. I had a date night on Saturday with the wife, and we hung out and had fun yesterday at the St. Paddy's Day Parade. So, in between all of that, I have been trying to look, but I haven't seen anything. Which is a good sign, I think, right? I mean, you would think if you're the, quote, best pass-catching tight end in a passing league, and you haven't visited another team, again, it's an assumption, but I'm assuming that there's probably an understanding. I'm assuming that there's a, all right, you agree? I agree. Great. Let me make sure I can get, now let me do some moves here to get some money, maybe some more restructuring. Got to submit it to the league. Let me sign this guy first. Let me take care of, okay, we got to get a center. Like, you know what I'm getting at? Maybe there's some things that need to take place to get done. I would just find that odd that the best pass catching tight end available in free agency hasn't visited anybody else. That's why I think it's a good sign that he could be a Saint at some point. Triplett also adds they have already replaced Ingram with Latavius Murray, who hasn't been quite as productive as Ingram, but certainly seems capable of filling the number two job alongside Alvin Kamara. Unger will be the hardest to replace, but the rest of the Saints line is loaded with talent. And they just signed an experienced potential replacement in free agent center guard Nick Easton. Also, this day was bound to come sooner than later for Unger, who turns 33 next month. But to Mike's point, Ingram was described by many players the heart and soul of the team. And it was clear, as you said, and he points out, and you're right, the social media reactions from a lot of players on the team, it mattered. I mean, Alvin Kamara posting pictures with him and Mark Ingram at the ESPYs from last year, right? Cam Jordan saying this one hurts. They came in together, same draft class, so you could understand that. But again, you just go back to that culture chemistry implosion, as he calls it, back in 2014. Parted ways with defensive leaders Jonathan Vilma. Now, you want to argue about probably the most important loss? That was a massive loss. And I'll touch on that coming in the top of the hour. Will Smith, Roman Harper, Malcolm Jenkins, Jabari Greer. That's all gone at once. And the Saints paid the price on that. I just think they're in a better spot than they were then. But I mean, those names I just read, those were key components in you winning the Super Bowl. Hour one in the books, our thanks to Coach Schlesinger. Coming up at 1:15, Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers. We'll talk about the Tigers on the diamond over the weekend and also their game coming up in the NCAA tournament. Round one, it's Yale in Jacksonville on Thursday, just afternoon, when they will take on Yale on the hardwood. We'll talk with the voice of the Tigers about that as well, plus more of your phone calls and tweets and comments all coming up next. In hour three, Marlon favorite Chip Patterson will go over the bracket in full at 2:30. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover, where hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING, or check them out online at kinginjuryfirm.com.